Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome here. I want to say hello to everyone at our sites and our venues and online. Before we begin today's message, I'd like to lead us in a moment where we as a faith community pause ever so briefly to recognize and express our gratitude to God for all that he's done in our midst. It was about a year ago that we launched a brand new 10-year vision for us at Westwood, and we call it 10-10-10. If you're new with us here, each of those 10s means something. The first 10 is that by God's grace and help, we want to start 10 multi-sites or micro-sites in our local area. The 10 times 10 equals 100. That's the second 10. And by resourcing and serving, we want to see 100 churches rise up amongst the immigrant population of the Minneapolis and St. Paul area. And the third 10, 10 times 10 times 10, is 1,000. And what we want to see happen is through a partnership with an organization called the Timothy Initiative to start 1,000 churches around the world. And we're seeing that happen. You're going to get an update with specificity next week about that last 10. This last Friday, though, our pastors and directors and leadership board members gathered for our annual retreat. And we took some time to list all of the things that God has done in a year. It took us an hour and a half because God is moving right now. He's giving us all that we need to pursue our vision, and it propels us with faith and trust into the future so that we can realize this vision that God has given us. It doesn't happen, though, without people like you stepping up and serving. It doesn't happen, though, without people like you sacrificially giving of your resources to fuel the mission and vision that God's given us. Great things happen, like Bush Lake. Our campus launched recently, and today Pastor Joel and other leaders are over there dedicating that campus to God for all the purposes that it has in Bush Lake. We celebrate that with you today. And we also look out into year two. We can look in the rearview mirror and be inspired by what we see, but aim our eyes in the windshield and what lies ahead of us in the second year and be propelled by the faithfulness of God, because God is faithful here at Chanhassen. God is faithful at Minnetonka. God is faithful at Bush Lake. And God is going to be faithful in as we go fill in the blank with him. God will be faithful near, he's faithful far, and he's given us all that we need. So let's pause, express our gratitude to him for what he's doing before we begin. Would you pray with me? Our Father, in your wisdom and in your grace, you, God, have chosen people to be the means by which you accomplish what you want done in this world to bring your kingdom. We are grateful to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. You're leading us, and we have stepped out, God, with the desire to be a blessing in your name. And Lord, you have been so faithful already. Let us absorb that faithfulness, and may our trust grow. We give you this church that you call Westwood. At Chanhassen, in Minnetonka, in Bush Lake, God, would you lead us into the future of what will be? God, we give you our near initiatives. We give you our far initiatives. It's all in your name, and it's all by your help and your grace. And we ask that those churches would rise up amongst the people who you have brought to this city that you so beautifully love, and that it would rise up around the world to see your kingdom come and your will be done right here, near and far, as it is in heaven. May that be so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the fourth week of our sermon series called Unstoppable, and that word means unabated or continuous. Throughout this year, we're studying the Gospel of John, and John, the author, does something in this gospel where he starts in the beginning when God created, and he traces it all the way to the end when Jesus will return to bring the new creation and bring all things right in the way that God originally intended them to be. The purpose of this whole book is that we would believe. Any average, ordinary human being that would desire to know this Jesus would believe and have life in his name. And there's sub-themes that come out of that major theme that we get introduced to in the first chapter of John that are things like Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the light. In Jesus is life. And today is a new sub-theme in this first chapter. And that theme is testimony. And we get introduced to this sub-theme through an interesting character named John the Baptist. And what we learn from that is we are called to be a reflection of that light, to be evidence of that life that we have found in Jesus Christ to make a difference throughout this world. And John the Baptist leads the way in a really unique manner. As I've studied this story, this text that we'll read in a little bit, in the life of John the Baptist, I've become so intrigued at the influence that he had in this greatest story ever told, Jesus and his coming. So today's message is called The Profile of a Leader. And if you'd like to, I'd like to invite you to take out your teaching notes where you can capture a few notes. Maybe that would be helpful as we all go seek to live this out there. I want to start with a quick poll. I'd like you to humor me if you would. Wherever you are, raise your hand if you consider yourself to be a leader. Okay, about half of us. That's more than I thought. And I wondered about this moment, if we would hesitate to raise our hands because we want to be humble people, right? For me, if I'm in your chair, raising my hand in that moment feels just a touch assumptive. Maybe we compare ourselves to those who have recognizable positions of leadership, and that becomes our definition. So if we're not that, we're not leaders. Or maybe we compare ourselves against the skills of other leaders who are so good at influencing and leading that we think we can't be as good as they are. Or maybe you just don't want to raise your hand during the sermon in the church. And if that's you, I would probably do the same exact thing. So we're together. But here's the thing about Jesus and his kingdom. Leadership comes from unexpected places. Take, for instance, the uneducated fishermen who were teenagers who heard the words, "Follow me," learned how to, and then went and changed the world. Consider tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes who were discounted and rejected by society, who had an encounter with this Christ and had their lives transformed and then went and told that story. In that context, it was unexpected for women to make the difference that women in Jesus' name made, like the Samaritan woman, Mary Magdalene, and Martha. And then today we get introduced to a peculiar prophet, John the Baptist, who began to announce that Jesus was coming and modeled a way for us to follow. So here's what we gain from that. Leadership in the kingdom of God is not defined by position. It's not defined by skill. It's not defined by gender, ability, or socioeconomic status. Jesus came to usher in a whole new way, to make changing the world accessible to anyone who would desire to do so in his name. And so there's a definition of leadership that reframes the whole conversation. It's something that we've rallied around at Westwood. It's not new to us. It's not new to me, but it's simply what we lock arms in. And the definition is this: leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. Every one of us has it. Every one of us has influence. You influence where you are every single day by your attitudes, your decisions, the way that you interact with other people in ways probably maybe that you don't recognize or acknowledge every single day. You influence your family, your friends, your loved ones, those closest to you. You influence through your vocation, what you do for 70% of the hours that you are awake, whatever that might be, from school all the way to being a retiree. You influence through your geography, your neighborhoods, the places you go. And then you influence through the rhythm of the life that you have, whether that be your kids' school or their activities, or even, I believe, the people that you check out behind and in front of in the grocery store line. Every one of us has influence, and every one of us has a platform. I believe that to my core. And here's the cool part. Your platform for influence is unique. There is nobody in this world that can make the difference that you do. Amen? Amen? Amen. I heard you, Bush Lake. And Minnetonka. Nobody can make the difference that you do. So what would God have to say to us about our influence potential as it relates to his kingdom? I think a couple things. First, own it. Own it. And secondly, be wary. Let me unpack both of those things. Again, there is nobody in the world that can make the difference that you do. You've got a unique placement in this world, and sometimes we get a picture of the various ways that influence manifests itself in and through our church. A few years ago, I was sharing a message on how we can connect our faith to our work in our everyday life, because that's not something that comes natural for all of us. And so in that message, we invited you to share your prayer requests, where you work, what your position is, and a prayer request that you might have. And that was one introduction to the varied nature that we all have unique platforms that we must own. Here's who we heard from. We heard from a garbage man. We heard from a teacher. We heard from a few CEOs. We heard from one CGO. What's that, you might ask? Chief Grandma Officer. We heard from a college student and a janitor, a coach, a homeschooling stay-at-home parent, a doctor, a retiree, a restaurant server, a probation officer, a spouse and president of family operations who described their job description as people and animal caretaker. Here's the thing, it all matters and it all contributes. Some of us, yes, are in charge of lots of stuff and people. And some of us, yes, have been given a gift by God of leadership. But every one of us has a platform and it matters because from your first breath to your last breath, God has purpose and meaning for your life to make a difference in Jesus' name. So I want to do that poll again. And if you'd humor me with that definition and that invitation into his kingdom, how many of us would consider ourselves to be leaders? More hands. Good. Some of you still don't want to raise your hand during a sermon. I get it. Secondly, our call is to be wary of the brokenness of the influence that resides in us. Now, I just want to say this. I think right now in our current culture, day and age, we've got a pile of examples of the brokenness of leadership. And we can probably all think of a few examples right now. But thinking of those examples, I believe, is less important than looking in the mirror. Because it resides in all of us. All of us as human beings fight against pride and ego. We fight against the need to be right. We fight against envy and jealousy that can rise up when we see others having success. We fight against an opportunity sometimes to compromise our convictions to retain our popularity. We fight against stuff as we influence, as we lead. And these can be the brokenness of influence that can run counter to the kingdom of God. And I know I need a vision for how I can live this out in every day, aiming towards making a difference in Jesus' name. And today, I thank God that he's given that to us through this example of this prophet named John the Baptist. In John 1, verses 19 through 28, here's the story. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I'm not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight for the way of the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. So the big question today is, how do we effectively own our kingdom influence? We get an answer here, and it comes through one phrase with three timeless principles for influencing in Jesus' name. I want to share each of them with you, and then I want to introduce you to a new resource at Westwood that we're coming to you with to help equip you for this endeavor. The phrase is this: more of Jesus, less of me, for all to believe. Let me unpack each of those. Start with more of Jesus. I love that phrase that John the Baptist says, "Among you stands one whom you do not know. He is one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Up until the last month, I would pass over that phrase, "the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie," just figuring it was a statement of general respect, but not paying much more attention to that. But there's more than meets the eye here, because to John, Jesus was greater. Jesus was a rabbi in the Hebrew tradition to John, and a rabbi was a teacher and a master and a change agent in the life of a student or in the life of a disciple. The student would learn their ways and hold them in the highest regard. And there's a specific phrase in rabbinical tradition throughout history that speaks to the metaphor that John uses that positions him in right light compared to how great Jesus truly is to him. The phrase is this: a student of a rabbi should do every task for that rabbi that a slave would do for their masters, except for one. One task that was even too lowly for a slave: the loosing of a rabbi's sandal strap. So what does this mean? It means to John, Jesus in the life that he had found in Jesus was so great that compared to the greatness of Jesus, John naturally out of humility put himself underneath even the lowest of that time. Because Jesus is so great. It didn't take anything away from his worth or identity, but he placed himself so deeply servant, subservient to him because of the greatness of Jesus. John was speaking to a group of people that were masters of that rabbi-student dynamic. And so essentially John is saying, there is somebody coming that you will not ever be able to fathom the greatness of. And this would have known, they would have known that immediately. So the first thing, more of Jesus, here's what that means. An effective kingdom influencer elevates the one who has sent them. And how did John do that? When he was questioned, he simply pointed to the greatness of Jesus. I want to give you an example that I hope will inspire you. And it was actually from last night. It's called How to Life, and it's a national student movement that's going on of high school students reaching high school students. And a few students in our local area got captivated by it and chose to bring How to Life to our area in Burnsville last night. And some of those students who are amongst the leadership core are Westwood students. Last night they had an event at a venue in Burnsville. And the description that I found on the event was this. There's going to be great music. There's going to be a gospel message, stories of students who have found their life in Jesus, and no one on the stage will be above the age of 18. I love that. So here's what happened. Hundreds of students from our local area came. Hundreds of them. And 223 students indicated either a first-time decision for Jesus or a rededication of their lives to Christ. Amen. I am still getting my head wrapped around the profound nature of this because you have a generation of students who are pointing to Jesus and allowing the greatness of Jesus to be so clear that their peers, their friends, are just flocking to him. May that happen more, and may we learn from them in terms of living a bold statement of more of Jesus in our lives. It's beautiful. The second is less of me, more of Jesus, less of me. John the Baptist, because of what he was doing and saying, had quite a following. You could say that there was a hype that surrounded him. And the religious leaders of that day were uniquely interested in hype-filled movements, because they didn't want them to spin out of control. And so there was a delegation that got sent to check John out. And there's five different times that John was questioned and pressed, and five faithful times he responded out of the mantra, less of me. The first one, you see him, and I'm just curious about John's inflection and how he says these things. The first time in verse 20, we see that this delegation of religious leaders arrives on the scene. And before they even arrive at John, John sees their posture and he thinks, I know what they're thinking. Guys, I'm not the Messiah. Like, he volunteers that because of what he sees in their posture. The next one in verse 21, they ask him, are you Elijah? And he responds with, I am not. Because for centuries, the Jewish people were reading the prophet Elijah and believing that he would return before God would bring his complete justice into this world. Are you Elijah? I am not. Verse 21, they ask him, so are you the prophet? And he says, no. I don't know why, but I just envision him responding like a three-year-old in that moment would. Maybe it's my stage of life, but no, I'm not the prophet. And then finally in verse 22, they had enough. Then who are you? They're completely out of their minds. Who are you? Give us an answer so we don't come back to the people who sent us empty-handed. And here's his answer. He goes, I am merely the voice. Strong answer, but could you imagine how frustrating that was to those people who are trying to figure out who this guy was? I'm merely the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight for the way of the Lord. Not enough though, because then the Pharisees, the elite among them, pulled John aside and he said, okay, if you're not this person, if you're not that person, then why are you baptizing with water? And John simply said, because of the greatness of the one who's coming. Five times he was pressed, five faithful times he responded, less of me. Are you a big deal? Are you the big deal? No, but there is one who is coming. We get a picture of John's heart distilled in John 3:30 when he says, he must become greater and I must become less. Jesus must rise and I must lessen. And John lived out this less of me principle that's timeless in the kingdom by using his voice. When he was pressed by the religious leaders in verse 20, it says, he confessed freely and did not fail to confess. That word confess simply means to go public with his inner conviction. So how do we live out the less of me? We use our voice. Yes, we use our voice publicly, but it starts internally, and that's maybe the more important application of our voice. We say it to ourselves early and often, more of Jesus, less of me. I say it again in a little bit louder so the ego and insecurity that's lurking in the room of the back of my heart can hear it too. I say it again and maybe a little bit louder so that my heart will be steeped in it every single day, more of Jesus and less of me. You know, I've been thinking about this for the better part of a month and just repeating it as often as I remember it. And I'm starting to see some places where I'm getting it right, but I'm also seeing some places where I'm getting it wrong. And that's the nature of life. We're a mixed bag. We're broken vessels. And the beauty of it is God will work on our heart through the power of his grace and his love that is for us as we are, not as we should be, to bring us into a whole new place. I'm recognizing that, I don't know about you, I just get defensive. Like when someone brings me something that I know I need to hear, my first response is not, please tell me more, I'm ready. My response is, no, I'm not. And I'm learning to reframe that with a holy 5-second pause before I respond and with a new word, and that's, say more. And I wish I could tell you that I'm getting that right all the time, but I'm not even doing that right all the time because God is working. And the beauty of this is God meets us as we are every single day and by his grace and power and love brings us to a whole new place where we shine more brighter than we ever thought that we could with this more of Jesus, less of me desire within our hearts. By the way, less of me ought never lead us into unhealthy self-deprecation, unhealthy self-shame, or guilt, or viewing ourselves with any diminished sense of value. Why, you might ask? Because the way that God looks at you is that you are the most beloved object of his person and of his love. You are the beloved sons and daughters of the Most High God. And in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can take that away from you. And a true humility that emerges out of the more of Jesus, less of me, does not say that we're worth anything less. The true humility just remembers why we're worth so much. Because of the identity that we're given in Jesus Christ that is timeless and forever. Living out that identity as a child of God more and more every single day. More of Jesus, less of me. An effective kingdom influencer elevates the one who sent them and diminishes the one who has been sent. More of Jesus, less of me. And thirdly, for all to believe. In everything that John the Baptist did, his purpose was clear, and we see it in verses 6-8. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. That light is Jesus. And the life that is described as a life abundant and a life to the full is in him. Last week, Pastor Joel talked about the dynamics of life, and he used a few words out of the original language of the scriptures where he said bios, where that is that life that we have just naturally by being alive, but there's a life, zoe, that God comes to bring us through Jesus Christ that's a life to the full, a life that lasts for all of eternity, that will never fail, that we can live in right now even more every day. That's the kingdom of God. And the way that that comes, friends, is through two primary ways. First of all, it's a personal trust and salvation in Jesus' name. It's 223 high school students in this local community that are living more into that personal trust because of last night and so much more that's going on in our current day and age. It's a personal trust that we're invited to have every day, but it's also the restoration of all things for the purpose of the way that God wants it to be. That's the kingdom of God. Right now in our world, the as it is in heaven coming, and God using us as the primary strategy to renew all things. In the beginning, God created, and in the end, Jesus is coming back to bring the new creation and the restoration of all things. And the great news is it's already begun. And it's available to you and to me to live out every single day, to invite people to have a personal trust in Christ and to make all things new only by God's power and grace for all to believe. I want to bring this back one more time. There is no one else in this world who can make the impact that you can. God's wired you up uniquely. God's wired you up creatively, and he has given you a platform to shine and reflect his light. There's nobody else in the world who can make a difference than you can. The way of living that out is really what the word discipleship means. That may not be a common household word for you. And so we've provided a unique definition for Westwood that is just simply a reflection that we can all live into. And that is this: being and living like Jesus. Living in our identity in him and then living that out every single day. And we want us all to understand that we're called to do it right where we are, because we know deeply that that is exactly where God has us. And as a church, we're constantly thinking of new ways to bring you encouragement and to bring you tools of equipping for how you can live that out in your life right where you are. And so that's why we're introducing this new resource to you today, which is the Westwood Podcast. I'm super pumped about this. Now, I don't want to assume that everybody knows what that is. So what's a podcast? Simply put, a podcast is an on-demand internet radio talk. It's available online through iTunes, Spotify, and many more. I learned recently through a Forbes article that 112 million Americans listen to podcasts. And in the last year, that's increased by 11 million people. And through my interactions with folks at Westwood, I realized so many of us are on this platform. Let's bring encouragement and equipping for us to live and be like Jesus right where people already are. So we've launched it, and we really want you to subscribe, and we really want to help encourage you and equip you to live your life. The primary thing that we're going to do in this podcast is interview everyday Westwood people who are living their faith right where they are, because we believe with more each other and with some humility mixed in, we can learn from everybody regardless of who they are, what life stage they're in, or what platform that they may have. And so over time, we are going to collect a number of different stories of people that we believe, as we give them away, will inspire us. We start with a guest whose name is John Butcher. We've got John the Apostle, John the Baptist, and John the Butcher. No. John and his family have been here since 2005, and right now John is the president and CEO of Caribou Coffee. And we're a few guests beyond John into our interviews, and I'm so excited for you to engage in this if you'd like. You can go to our website and click on the box that says Westwood Podcast and subscribe. Now, as we close, I want to bring us back. I want to bring us back to this. You all have a platform of unique influence that God is awaiting for you to own and desiring to work with you in living an awareness that would lead you into more deep of a character in Christ than you can ever fathom. So that more of Jesus, less of me, for all to believe and have life in his name comes through you and the people that you're in. So what I want to do is lead us in a word of prayer in just a moment. And then we're going to sing to that end of how God meets us as we are and gives us his grace and brings us to places that only he can bring us. But I want you to think about, as we pray, as we worship, those places of influence that you have, those circles. Who's in your family? Who are your closest trusted friends, your loved ones, that inner circle of life? How would God have you influence there? I want you to think about your vocation, your work, whatever it may be, from student to retiree. Who's there? And how would God call you to move forward and influence those people in those places to bring a personal trust in Jesus' name and the renewal of all things, because he's going to give you what you need to do that as you trust in him? as you think about your geography, your neighborhood, the places that are around you, who's there? And what are the places, things, and cultures that are around those areas that you may be positioned to influence for a life that will never end? And just by nature of your life, think about where you're going next today. Would it be possible, in a way that perhaps you may not assume, that you could today make an influential difference for people to have life in Jesus' name? Let's think about those places because they're beautiful and unique, and God has positioned you for them to live more of Jesus, less of me, for all to believe. Would you stand with me and would you pray? Loving God, we are so grateful for your presence today. You're with us. You bless us with your presence, your strength, your provision, your forgiveness, your grace, your power to do things that we cannot do on our own, that forms our life, that shapes us, God, and that is shaping us right now, and that will shape us this week in maybe ways that will surprise us. So God, be honored by our lives, be honored by our worship, be honored by our prayers, and with our hands open, Lord, we ask that you would use us to influence people on the platforms that you've given us to make a difference that will never end, in the name of Jesus. God, may it be so that we would live more of you, Jesus, less of ourselves, for all to believe and have a full life in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.